ಮಾರಂಜಾ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಒಪ್ಪಿ ಚನ್ನ ಪಾಲ ಗಿರಿವಾರ ದಾರಿ
To see so many people. Actually, I wasn't thinking many people would be here. We have a what's called a satsanga going on. It's out in Utah at our temple, and many devotees have gone there to recharge their batteries and to hear from all the Vaishnavas all over the country and actually all over the world that are gathering there for this weekend. And that is a little bit about the subject that I want to talk about. And we'll start by first invoking some very auspiciousness by repeating after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, I was thinking that it's like I'm never totally amazed that when I see the progress of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is the age that we're in. It's an age of quarrel, hypocrisy, darkness, illusion, and it seems like it's a little bit above schedule according to the Vedas. It actually is in progress and going to get much worse all the time. And therefore you can see that there is a struggle amongst many things, especially for protection. People want more protection these days, just like last this week. Now they want protection. They want to get, you know, more gun laws, things like that. People want shelter. People are being forced from their homes, forced from their countries. So they need a shelter. And of course, everyone needs money because it's inflation and rising prices. So many different disasters. And then there's also people need medicines because there's more new diseases. Now there's some monkey something or other going on. And then there's, it's like non-ending and only increasing all the time. So it's no wonder that people's hands are out. They're begging for help of different kind, protection, shelter, so many different things. They're even begging for more weapons to kill everybody with, which is, you know, the opposite of shelter. So it's a bit crazy in this world, and it makes one begin to wonder. And because of public media and the internet, now you see a hand coming through your internet all the way from the other side of the world begging, right? Before it used to be in your local neighborhood or your neighbor needed some sugar or something. But now it's all the way from the other side of the world and people are begging, and rightfully so. So it's something that comes in our inbox even. How many GoFundMe did you get in your inbox last week? I got a couple. And at 6 o'clock every week, I get a phone call. I know what it is. It's from the firemen, right? They want a donation for the firemen. And then there's, or if you go to the checkout at the cash, at your cash register, the lady goes, would you like to give your change for this or that or this or that? And I had to renew my license this week. So I was doing it online, and you pay $50, and then it has a big box. Half the page is about 50 different little boxes that you can check off for charities. Which charity you want to give to? Because people are in need. And so one begins to wonder, you know, what's actually going on here? You get bewildered to think who to give to, because you want to give. We want to help people. And you don't really know how you're going to do it to everybody and how you're going to please everybody. But this has been going on a long time. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks Krishna, what is the greatest benefit for me? And what does Krishna say? He says, you should do your duty, but be conscious of me. Be Krishna conscious. Do your duty. That will benefit you. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the first altar here, he asked Ramananda Roy, kind of a business-type person, he said, let me quote it here, he says, Lord Chaitanya is asking his disciple, which is a little bit strange, but he says, out of all auspicious and beneficial things, activities, which is the best for the living entity? What's the most beneficial and auspicious thing that one should do? And Ramananda Roy said, the only auspicious activity is association with the devotees. So why is that? Every morning we sing we say a prayer. And it's Vanchakalpa Tribhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patita Nam Pavanebhu Vaishnavu Namo Maha. And it's giving reverence to all the devotees because they are very compassionate. And they're also like desire trees. They want to fulfill the desires of everyone. Now that's a big shoe to fit into if you're a devotee, to be that compassionate and to be fulfilling everyone's desires. But this is how important devotee association is. And so because we have knowledge, the devotees, you can ask anyone, you know, what's the philosophy, and then can immediately sit down and spend hours telling you the philosophy of that you're not this body. That's the most important thing. Is all the suffering is because of the bodily consciousness of life that we all have. So this is something that, it's a gem that we all have as devotees, and that is the most wonderful thing we can give to other people, the most beneficial thing. This is the knowledge of bhakti. It's an art. It's a transcendental arts and science of how to please Krishna. And if you're pleasing Krishna, then Krishna is going to be very much inclined to make you very happy. And so this is the goal of everyone's life, is to be happy. And so therefore we try to do what Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya wanted. And their mission was only to make the whole world happy, to spread happiness. It's a big mission, and it's a big world. But we can see that when Prabhupada came to America, he was sitting on a park bench. He had just arrived in America, didn't know, like he said, to turn left or right. But he was sitting on a park bench, just an unknown man sitting there. And he began to, and he was asked, you know, who are you? Coming from India, look, you know, very strange. And he said, so what are you here for? And Prabhupada said, my mission is to make everyone happy. I have farms, and I have temples, and I have books, and I have so many things. He actually had a strategy of how he was going to bring happiness to the West. The most compassionate example that we have, the most wonderful example of a pure devotee representing Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. So this is, he rightfully, when he claims that this is the most beneficial work in the world, what we're doing as devotees, going out and spreading Krishna consciousness. He says this is the greatest welfare work for mankind. That's a lot to say. It's a lot to say. On the internet, there was an old picture that someone put on to help us remember Srila Prabhupada. And it was the first media that was actually printed when Prabhupada came to the United States. And it's a picture of Prabhupada standing there, black and white, with his rubber shoes on still, and standing there very stern. And the name of the magazine was Save Earth Now. Very appropriate. The article describes how this man from India, this Swami, was going to save the earth by this chanting, specifically bringing this Maha Mantra, this chant, these names of God, to everyone's home and to all over the world. So this was a great start for Srila Prabhupada, this prophecy that he was going to do this, and it started in a very humble way. And we can see that it has definitely spread all over the world. And when I was first became a devotee, and this was quite a while ago, 1970, and it was a very young movement still, and I would be on the streets chanting in my Woolworths, you know, $1.50 a yard, 6 yard cloth, yellow cloth, standing on the streets for hours and hours chanting, most of the time with my eyes closed because it was just too much to deal with. Everyone staring at you, everyone telling you to go get a job, everyone telling you that you're a nuisance, saying, you know, throwing things from the top of the, you know, water from the top of the buildings in Los Angeles, to doing all kinds of things. And mainly they were saying that you're a big deviation from our, you know, our goal of life, which is sense gratification. And why are you here? And I'm thinking, man, we're going to be saving the world? This is the greatest benefit? Wow, you know, this is a tough job. Because we were known as a cult then. And even later on in Juhu, in Bombay, Papa was infuriated when the council in Bombay was said that your chanting is a nuisance. So, no appreciation. How are we ever going to save the world? But things have changed. And Prabhupada gathered a few kind of scrubby looking, you know, hippies from the West, and somehow or other he gathered up an army that had faith in him. And he deputized us. He put the tag on us and said, now you're going to help me save the world. And we could do that with faith, because Prabhupada was a representative of of Krishna. He was giving us the absolute truth, and we could understand it because he was so expert in distribution of this knowledge, because Krishna was right behind him. And this was actually a magic that we experienced, and you can still experience, that Prabhupada taught us how to change matter into spirit. Our own consciousness and everything that the Krishna consciousness touched, it became spiritual. We would get a little teeny, I was one of the first ones to go to Dallas to start a temple, teeny weeny little teeny apartment, you know, with football players next door. But it was transformed into a temple. So this was the magic that made our hearts become very firm in being that deputy to go out and to tell other people that this is where you're going to find your happiness. So this was inspired us, and we understood that this was the answer to everyone's suffering. Now, in our philosophy, there are two words. One is prayas and one is shreyas. For immature children, their immediate happiness is what? At the moment. If it's there for my pleasure, that's the most important thing. That's all I care about. The immediate pleasure. You know, I can just play and play. Don't bother me with school or anything like that. I just want to play. But this is very immature. But in human form of life, we're supposed to develop the higher consciousness. Is called shreyas. And that is to realize that we do have to do some suffering, we have to do some work for a bigger goal and a more important goal. And it's worth it in the end. So this Krishna consciousness movement is trying to make it understood in society today that this immediate sense gratification is not what you should be working so hard for and suffering so hard for. It's not worth it. So this is our goal, is to somehow or other stay on the path of bhakti. There's a couple nice prayers. One's by Govinda Das, and he says, having obtained this rare human birth, cross over the ocean of worldly existence through the association of saintly persons. Again, that same theme, that if you do rub shoulders with someone who is on that path, you will also experience that pleasure and be carried away, swept away into spiritual life. And then Narottam Das Thakur, he comes from a different angle, and he says, having obtained a human birth and having not worshipped Radha and Krishna, I have knowingly drunk poison. So you can see that the choice in human life is crucial. And fortunately, you all are here spending your time and accepting that this lifetime I will take the time and the energy to learn how to actually please the Supreme Lord. So when I was really small, and even now, I must admit that I've always wanted to be like on a rescue team to save people. I always wanted to have that emergency feeling and feel like I'd sacrifice my own life to go out there and help somebody and just to save them. I've saved a few people from drowning before, especially in the Ganges. My young people get in the mud and you see a little hand, you know, you pick them out and at different places. And it was a good feeling to actually feel like rescuing people. But Prabhupada's really filled my desire, because now I'm on this huge rescue team that everyone is drowning in the ocean of poison all around us. Everyone is drowning and trying to go deep and to get that sense gratification, but they're drowning. So we have so many people to rescue. One time I was, took the ashram to Bombay, and Radhanath Swami had a huge boat that he rented, and it was I think 400 people on it. We just had kirtan. And then he talked about the incarnations, I remember. And he got to Matsya. And he was talking about how the boat with the Vedas and everything. And he says, and we were chanting real, you know, the song and everything, and the boat was starting to tilt a little bit. And then he got a message from down below that, you know, be careful, you know, this is a boat and there's a big ocean out there, you know. And Brahma Swami goes, how many of you can swim? Myself and the girls were about the only ones that had our hand up. And I thought, whoa, we got a lot of people here to rescue if something happened. So in the same way, we have a lot of people to rescue. And it's our lifetime of work. So this is a big rescue team that we're on. And we should be very thankful that that Prabhupada has given us that service, and Lord Chaitanya has left that for us to do. He could conquer the world if he wanted, but he actually gives us that opportunity to be part of his team. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, our spiritual master's spiritual master, has a very nice saying in one of his songs, and he's talking about the devotees of Krishna, and he calls them Brajavasis. He says, the Brajavasis are infused with life, and therefore preach in order to give life to the walking corpses of the mundane world. So if they're not drowning, then they're just walking corpses. So it's a dreadful scene out there, and so we should be very thankful that we're on this rescue team. And as I was saying, there's so many beneficial works and things going on all around. And you really don't know which one to put your money or effort into. But Bhagavad Gita gives us some clarity on a little bit about giving in charity. And it's nice to receive some instructions directly from Krishna so that we can figure out where to put our charity. This is some verses. It says, charity given out of duty, without expectation of return, at the proper time and place, and to a worthy person, is considered to be in the mode of goodness. In other words, indiscriminate charity is not recommended in the Vedic literature. And then it goes on to say, but charity performed with the expectation of some return, or with a desire for fruit of results, or in a grudging mood, is said to be charity in the mode of passion. And charity performed at an impure place, at an improper time, to unworthy persons, or without proper attention and respect, is said to be in the mode of ignorance. So this is something that will help us. One of my sisters married into the Burger King family, and they were actually friends of ours. He started Burger King in Miami. And he was a very rich man, and he gave in charity a lot. And one time we went over to see him to find out, because he raised millions of dollars for the University of Miami, millions and millions and millions. And we asked him, how can we get money for our ashram? And he was very proud of his charity. He took us to a room and showed us all of his awards of what he's given here and there. And I was thinking, you know, this is exactly what you aren't supposed to do. You shouldn't expect something in return. You shouldn't, feed your ego more than it already is. It's actually detrimental. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also said that if one gives in charity to someone who's going to use it for intoxication or for gambling, that actually it's harmful to that person. So we have to be very discriminate. Of course, we have... In ISKCON, we have our different types of charity. We're following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada in Mayapur, I remember I was there one of the first years he was there, and he insisted that we start this Food for Life. And he said no one within 10 miles should go hungry. And it was a pitiful sight. People would come and they were hungry. They were hungry. They would put out their sari like this, and we'd put khichdi, and they would take it home. Hot kitchen and their sari and take it home because they were hungry. So it began with Srila Prabhupada. It even began in Dallas in the very first years when the kids were feeding the ducks. They would go to the duck pond and give prasadam bread, and Prabhupada heard about it. And he said, that's very good. He said, that's very nice, because all those ducks will jump up, and next lifetime they will be human. So Prabhupada encouraged us to do this prasadam distribution. But he always also said that to include the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, because this also completes the whole process. It's such a powerful way to control this tongue through prasadam and through chanting of the holy names. Also, you know, in our ISKCON we have Prahlad Maharaj story in Nrisimha. And after Prahlad Maharaj was saved by Nrisimha, Nrisimha asked Prahlad, you know, I want to give you a benediction. What would you like? And he goes, I don't do business. I don't want to do this. But he says, actually, can you help my father? He was a real demon, but can you liberate him somehow? And he goes, already done? He said, 14 generations have been liberated. So us going out and just making one devotee, just think of the benediction. And some of our parents really needed it. Really needed it. So it's our duty to become Krishna conscious and do this greatest benediction. And of course we have our temples, beautiful darshan for our eyes, purify our eyes, purify our hearts and ears, listening to this philosophy, engaging in service, purifying our senses. Such a wonderful opportunity to bring others here also and to become purified. So this is our duty. And it's also, of course, one must train themselves, just like when you go to war. If you're not trained, good chances you're not going to be successful. The more trained you are, and the more ammunition you have, the better off in your fight. And so, just like all of us have been on a plane, how many times? And we know it by heart. When it comes, the announcement comes on. If the cabin pressure should decrease, then from above, there'll become an oxygen mask. First, put it on yourself, right? Why? Because if you're dead, you can't help anybody else, right? So first, you have to save yourself. So we have these temples, and we have all this wonderful process for giving us the strength to go out there and to benedict others, to be that desired tree. Srila Prabhupada, there's one whole book called A Lifetime in Preparation. He prepared himself to come here. And even though, you know, Srimati Bharaji, who gave him his ticket on his for his ride here, thought he was going to die. He just thought he was just going to die here. How can you go to America and live? But because Prabhupada was so prepared and so potent, so armed with Krishna consciousness, he was able to send waves of spiritual revolution throughout the whole world. And they're still bashing on all the shores of every country. So this is something that we should learn, that we should become enlivened and preach and see that we can also have some success on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and carry out his mission. Now Prabhupada said at one time, this is right before he left his body, he said that I've given you the temples, I've given you all these things, I've done so much to benedict you and make you happy. And he was so happy. When he saw us becoming, you know, ripped out of Maya's hands, out of her clutches, he was so happy to see, now look how the hippies have become happiest, right? So in the same way, we have that experience of when we help people, that pleasure is so deep. And so when he was very successful in what he did, and he said at the end that 50% of my work is done, but 50% is not done. And he had another part of the strategy. This was his strategy with the books and the temples and the sankirtan and deity worship and everything that we relish in. The other 50% was his his science of how to live simply and to think very highly. An ideal society based on Varna Ashram, or actually enveloping everyone, no matter who they are, and taking them and giving them some service for Krishna and work them up so that they can become pure devotees. And this was something that he wanted to teach us on our farms. He did establish some farms. And he said that the Vedic culture that really is ideal must be agriculturally based. And the cows are very important for that agriculture. And the schools are very important. And this getting ourselves away from this dependency of technology is so important. Because if we have faith in Prabhupada and the scriptures, we know what the predictions of this Kali Yuga is. It is going to get darker, and there is going to be a collapse of the economy, and life will not be as it is today. Maybe not in my lifetime, but maybe it will be. But most likely, in some of your lifetimes, it'll happen. So this is a whole another time when we should take out our deputy badges that we put in our back pocket, and we should polish them a little bit and put them on again, and realize that we have still a lot of work to do this. Because Prabhupada said, if we make an ideal society like this, that others will see how wonderful it is and how happy everyone is, and then they'll want to take it up. So this is a very big task, but we shouldn't have doubts about what Prabhupada says. Everything he said has been right. Everything that Krishna says is right. And he wants to see this happen. Because when things do start to crumble, it might be too late. It might be too late, and we might crumble with it. We are not prepared for such disasters. I don't know if this is taught in our schools or not. Maybe just to become more dependent on technology is being taught in our schools. I don't know. But it's something that should be included in our education, that someone's going to have to do this work to become, to save the world. There's many quotes about how important this project is. I can read you some of them. Says, on these farms, we can demonstrate the full Varnashram system. If these farms become successful, then the whole world will be enveloped by Krishna consciousness. So this is his strategy. This is part of it. One day, millions of people will come to our farms because of unemployment. And we must accept them. We must feed them. We must let them live here. And they will gradually become spiritualized. We will put them to work. They will get their food, and there will be prasadam. They will hear something about Krishna and Balaram, and they will gradually, by the millions, become devotees. This is big preaching. This is big preaching. This is what Prabhupada, this is his vision of how to save the entire planet, is to develop this type of a consciousness where we can take everyone. If a million people came here today, we could figure out how to envelop them in Krishna consciousness. So we shouldn't be sorry when it's too late. We can save the world with the help of Srila Prabhupada. And Krishna will help him. Krishna helped Prabhupada. No one thought Prabhupada could do it, but he did. So we should organize, maybe change our priorities in this kind of a little bit, and use our intelligence how to do this other 50%, and see this mission of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya actually take over the entire world, and everyone can be happy then. It's really the only way. And it, when Krishna's happy, we'll be happy. And this is what I understand about what real charity is, and what being, when Prabhupada said that this is the greatest welfare work is to, and he had an idea of how to do it. So we just have to study it, and the best way to preach it is when you practice it. So someone has to practice it and take it up. Some of us are getting a little old. Could use some help. Anyway, maybe there's some discussion or questions or some ideas. Papa said to do anything, you have to organize and you have to use your intelligence. So to organize, that means people have to get together. Also, practically on Prabhupada's deathbed, he said, your love will be shown by how you cooperate. So there has to be some cooperation, get heads together, and volunteers to put their badge on and go for it. But I think we have to change our consciousness a little bit, see what the priorities are, and offer our services. That's where it begins, is to offer, volunteer to help. And in whatever way you can. And it's a big field. And it's exciting to figure out how we can, millions of people will become devotees. Millions. It's wonderful. It'd be exciting.
Yes. Hare Krishna, I loved dancing next to you, and I think it's amazing that you're the one speaking. I also think it's amazing that last time I was here, I'm the man that just made the question. I actually made a question to him, and it was about actually like the root issues of the world, and that we have the answers to this, and I picked up the eco flyer, actually. So I think this is all very ironic, Krishna's arrangement, I suppose. My background is in interpreting history and nature, and I know a lot about botany and soil and a lot of different things, and I just really want to put it to use. So if I can ever come and help and learn from you, I would love to, first off. Second off, I was really like contemplating and thinking this week, like, what were Prabhupada's words about nature? Because I know I'm very drawn by nature. I know we're a middle planet, but I know it's still matter, and to turn it into spirituality, you know, turn it into spirit, like you were saying, like turn it into temples. I've been really into permacultures, which is a permanent agriculture. And we live in a world that's very monoculture, so we have to feed a lot of people, but what we do is we go against nature quite frequently. And I think we're supposed to learn how to live with nature more so we can have more harmony. So, and that's what you probably have learned when you've had to garden or anything like that. You have to figure out what the plant needs exactly in the soil so that way it'll grow. Like, you have to really work with the plant and work with the creatures that are trying to eat the plants and all these different things. So, I think we have to learn, like you said, to work together and be open to the art of, like, you know, it's going to fail, we're going to fail. We're not going to be perfect at this. But having us come together and actually do this, I've been like dreaming of this before I knew about Krishna consciousness for a long time. I was a hippie turning into a happy. You guys are making me happy, thank you. Our Krishna is, you know. And it's just nice to know that this work is being done and that the vision is still there and the vision is there. And so I'd like to maybe somehow help that happen.
Great.
So thank you.
Good. Yeah, I think the younger generation could get very fired up and go a long way. Yeah, I have them in my purse here.
Thank you so much, Mother Kuti, for that wonderful class. I wanted to give an announcement about a book that's very important for this discussion that was printed in 1999, speaking about Varnashram, where you have a compilation of Srila Prabhupada's instructions on developing Varnashram or reestablishing Varnashram. And it gives the chance, because it's in chronological order, to see the development of Prabhupada's vision in regards to Varnashram. That book is currently not available.
Right. I got to read it a few weeks ago.
You got a chance to read it?
Yeah, I know someone who has it. But
right.
I also have some compilations that I've I look at it a lot.
So I wanted to announce that I've been working with the BBT to make that book available.
Oh, good.
That book should, before the end of the year, should once again be available.
Good.
And there you get instructions from Srila Prabhupada in terms of how to, what to do, why to do, and then the particulars. And then the second book that would be coming out, hopefully within the same frame, time frame before the end of the year, is Bhishma Dev's teachings to Maharaj Yudhishthir after the Battle of Kurukshetra. There he goes into great detail about the particulars of Varnashram in a very systematic way. Bhishma Dev being a Mahajan and Yudhishthir being Dhammaraj. So that conversation goes into great depth in terms of the inner workings of Varnashram. So what this, the hope is that this will give devotees information to practically apply in terms of Varnashram and the interaction. So stay tuned. That's the we have much to come coming forward to help with that endeavor.
Great. Well, Papa said that it will go down in history that our movement has saved mankind if we can pull this off. So there was one other quote that I was going to say, and that's Srila Prabhupada said, one can go everywhere to every home and request everyone to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Thus the entire world situation will become very happy and peaceful. So in the Varnashram system, the most important thing, if you read the Gita Nagari prophecy, is that everyone come together and chant regularly. And this holds everyone together, no matter what, who you are, how far you're out from the circle of devotees. But coming together like this and chanting regularly in morning or evening is essential to focus that Krishna is the center of our lives, not us. So coming together in here at the temple, this is a good start, and realizing the potency of the holy name and wanting to let other people experience it. So it's crucial. Yes?
Thank you, Mataji, for the very nice class. Do we have any Varnashram community, you know, Varnashram system-based community who are self-sufficient?
The closest one to being self-sufficient is in Hungary. Shivaranaswami has a... I've been there. They were just getting off the grid for water. They were all having their own water. They have to bring it up. And there's no... it's all the coal fires. And and they grow a lot of what they need right there. They have honeybees. And the government's very impressed, and many people come to see that it does work, that you can live off the grid and you can live self-sufficiently. That's the only one I know that is like that.
Rasini's growing.
Yeah.
Their own farm, they produce their own electricity, their own food.
There are some attempts here and there. Yeah. In Florida, you're not allowed to be self-sufficient enough. They're really far behind. Yeah. We do our best. We have a little model out here of how maybe it might work. But we need to grow and... Doesn't have to be, no. But it'd be nice to have a backup in case Krishna pulls the plug. And if he did that, you'd have to eat your phone. You would. No one knows how to grow food, and it's not easy. So, and your phone wouldn't be the good one. Okay, that's another discussion. Anyway, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.